open. Catch, touchdown.
Stop it. Stop it. You can't do this. You can't escape. You can't make these plays. You can't make these throws.
Jacobs cutting back. Getting to the edge. Jacobs is in for the touchdown.
I just don't remember anybody doing what this young man has done so far in the league.
It's fourth down and one.
Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs, who ate his feelings at Wendy's. And while we were in line, you were Googling something. I assume that you were Googling Bob Sutton's address so you could send him a letter of apology, because maybe he wasn't the only issue that this defense had.
I will never do that. Never in a million years.
So what you're saying is you would rather have a defense that works, not one terrible defense compared to another. I mean, it is kind of like comparing,
a dog. Apples to even.
I was going
to
say like
apples.
A pile of dog dew and a pile of dog dew with a flower in it.
I mean, you can go whatever road you want.
But well, I like apples.
I'm just saying, Sutton had like 6 whole years, man. Okay?
No, I know. I'm just saying. But, I mean, for comparison's sake, I don't think, you can't say it's apples to apples or apples to oranges, because people like apples and people like oranges. If you're a Chiefs fan, you probably don't like either one of these defenses.
I actually bought a lot of those last week, and I haven't eaten them yet. They're pretty
rotten. Apples or oranges or dog poop?
Apples and oranges.
I don't know. Maybe you're doing some fertilizer, like growing a garden or something, trying to find a way, like a Zen garden, so that it could like bring you down after these Chiefs losses. I don't know how you reacted to last week, other than destroying an entire Wendy's.
Yeah, I would have destroyed food in the Wendy's, not the actual Wendy's.
Whatever, man. I would have knocked down a wall.
I would have made our station's news. Chiefs fan goes crazy inside of Wendy's. Find out tonight it did. No, I did not do that. I was sad. I did go see the new movie, The Joker.
Mm-hmm. Did that cheer you up? Did you think it was a comedy?
It was certainly not a comedy. Todd Phillips has come a long way from Road Trip and a Hangover to a movie that dark. And wow.
Which was a more enjoyable experience, that or the 3 hours of time you spent watching this Chiefs game?
I'll always choose the Chiefs game, especially over that movie.
All right. Oh, you didn't like it? Let's get your review. I would rather just like sit here and make fun of your film critique. We're gonna take a tip from Twitter, and it's just gonna be 30 minutes of me ripping on you.
Don't listen to Thor. Don't listen to Thor from Twitter. Don't do it. I just like how you were giggling over there at the desk behind me while I'm trying to edit the video, and you're just over there giggling. Like, and I was like, I better check Twitter.
I had lots of things running through my head.
I'm sure you did. What were we talking about again?
Yep. We were talking about how you needed to send a letter of apology to Bob Sutton.
No.
And you destroyed a Wendy's, no. And you were going to give us your critique of the film, The Joker.
You wanted me to. I didn't say I was going to. What I'll say about the movie is, for me, a critique of a movie is, do I check my phone? Because that means I'm getting bored if I do check. I didn't check my phone, but there was one part in the movie where I was like, oh, that's not good. That's really not good. You definitely can't take your kids to that part. Not that part either.
Oh. I made my 11-year-old go see it by himself. Was that a mistake?
Oh. Todd is kidding right now. Todd is joking 100%. There's a couple parts that
he told me, Daddy, I
you
can't
haven't.
Sleep.
I'm just saying, there's a couple parts you definitely haven't seen in the movies before. It is a part that sticks with you.
All right. Was it more or less scarring than the Chiefs' defensive performance for the second week in a row?
I was more upset with their performance last week. This week, I just expected it. So, I mean, that's just kind of the reality.
I don't tell anybody, but we do that ESPN 4th and 1 podcast, ESPN
Pick'em
game. Mm-hmm. I picked Houston to win this one.
I think I did too. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, after last week, I was like, oh boy, they're going to come in here and just run roughshod. Part of that, too, was I didn't expect Tyreek Hill to play. Real quick, mm-hmm. Let's hear from Tyreek Hill and Andy Reid and their reaction to a 31-24 loss against the Houston Texans on Sunday. Second straight loss and second straight loss in a row at Arrowhead Stadium.
There are a bunch of things to look at, but again, penalties, time of possession, you know, those are pretty big at this time, taking advantage of turnovers. We got to make sure that we do a better job offensively, taking advantage of turnovers and scoring touchdowns. And that's, again, that's my responsibility.
And we just use this as like one of those adversity moments. You know, we just build off this. Like, we just continue to build throughout the season. And we're going to bounce back, baby. We're the Chiefs. That's what we do. We got the MVP quarterback. We got the best tight end in the league. We got the best offensive line in the league, in my opinion. So we're just going to keep building off that.
Woof, woof, woof. Tyreek Hill, best offensive line in the league, in your opinion. Are you making him your GM after his career's over?
I think he's a very talented player on the football team right now. And I think,
so are you questioning his ability to properly evaluate offensive line play?
What's he supposed to say? He's not gonna.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what I tell people, or my advice to athletes would always be: you don't have to say it. Nobody asked you about the offensive line play there. You don't have to like praise the offensive line there. Just don't say anything if you don't want to say anything negative. Like your mother said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. But you sound foolish when you say, oh, we got the best offensive line in the league, because anybody who's watching can tell you that that's objectively not the case.
Well, nobody followed up with a question about what league he was talking about. So.
Oh, you did. Fair point. Maybe
one of one. You never know.
I mean, So you're making assumptions, Todd. You think the subtext there was, we got the best offensive line in the league, in my opinion. I assumed the league he was talking about was the league in which the game was being played. Do you think that he was really referring to, we have the best offensive line in the league, if we were still playing in the AAF, which is folded?
I mean, that's one road you can go down. You could have the league in Missouri. You know, there's plenty of
opportunities. Are you sure that offensive line is, in fact, better than the University of Missouri's?
I don't know, man. No.
The University of Missouri wins their home games, okay?
Ooh. It's a hot mic. Look, all I know is I've been on a rant for years about Andy Heck and how I'm not a huge fan, and my catchphrase has always been, the nameplates change, but the issues remain the same. And when Patrick's ankle is hurt, that keeps them from being able to do what they need to. Like I said last week, Patrick can hide some things with his athletic ability, and he was able to a couple times last year when they needed to. This year, can't really do that anymore. So you either gotta get a lot better at the twist stunts and actually being able to hold a pocket and hold the line of scrimmage, or you get the MVP hurt, the franchise hurt, which is your most important job to get to the Super Bowl, and it's also your most important job, you know, in the paycheck that you receive.
Yeah, and look, I mean, this the protection issue, it's not going away anytime soon. I mean, Eric Fisher's still going to be out a few more weeks.
Maybe, I don't know.
You'd expect. I mean,
assume so.
Core muscle surgery, usually, I mean, previous guys who've had this kind of surgery typically are out at least 6 weeks. And we're about a month out from when Eric Fisher had that surgery. So he's unlikely to be, you know, he's not coming back to save that offensive line anytime soon. And who knows how strong, how healthy, how effective he's going to be when he does get back, or how long it will take him to get up to being, you know, a Pro Bowl caliber left tackle again. So I don't think you can look at that as your savior. And I thought the Chiefs, they tried to, you know, if you look at that first drive where they had 116 passing yards because they kept getting all the penalties, they were moving the pocket, they were running a lot of screens, they were doing a lot of things to try to slow down that pass rush, to try to make the Texans think twice about blitzing. Do you think they abandoned that too much? Did you like them trying to do that to at least take some pressure off that offensive line? Do they need to do more of that moving forward?
Here's what was happening. I mean, whenever they ran their screens, they were running them because they knew they were blitzing, I believe, in the A-gap a handful of times. So they caught him a couple times, and they caught him for one of the touchdowns with Williams by being able to guess the blitz correctly. And, I mean, look, I mean, it was effective early on, and they did some stuff early on, when, like you said, when they moved Mahomes in the pocket, and they moved him around and everything, and he had the mobility. But whenever that one blitzer came full steam sprint there, I believe, in the A-gap or – maybe the B, I can't remember, but I know he came unblocked, and then he took Mahomes to the ground when Mahomes was leaping, and then he helped bend that ankle. And after that, Patrick lost a lot of his velocity, and his weight distribution on some of his throws just didn't look the same, and he didn't have the same accuracy or velocity after that. And
I was Do you think it's been underplayed? I mean, because there's 3 weeks in a row we've seen Patrick Mahomes not be as accurate as we've been accustomed to in the last couple of years. How much of that do you think is just the ankle injury? And look, he, give him credit for playing through it, but is that where you're seeing the impact as much as anything is with his accuracy on especially some of those intermediate and deeper routes?
Yeah, it's taking a toll on him. And the other thing that's taking a toll is the fact he always has to leave from the pocket and he's flush from the pocket and has to move around. And I mean, he's got a quicker timer in his head than he had last year, and he has to because of the amount of pressure that they're giving up and how many opportunities teams have to tee off on him and to try to go after that ankle. So he's doing what he has to do in self-preservation, and he shouldn't have to. A league MVP should not be having to do self-preservation like that because you literally know what the most important piece of your football team is. He's called the franchise. His name's Patrick Mahomes. You protect him at all costs if you want to go to a Super Bowl. And today what I saw was a team who didn't protect him as much as they needed to, and I was very disappointed in that. Wrote in the game plan what they needed to do to protect him, how they needed to chip, how they needed to stop him, but instead they wanted to run their 4 or 5 routes and do and go deep and do that. And I mean, hey, it is what it is. They made their choices, so just hoping the franchise doesn't get hurt.
Well, early on it worked. I mean, I mean
to where he's out.
Yeah,
for a while.
Yeah, actually missed time. Early on it worked. I mean, early on, first drive of the game, you know, deep ball to some guy named Tyreek Hill. You know, he showed off his like 7-foot vertical, or I'm not sure if that's official, but Tyreek Hill did some Tyreek Hill things. We saw a lot more zone coverage from the Texans defense this week, if you were paying attention, than you had seen the previous 2 weeks from the Lions and the Indianapolis Colts. You know, and they were able to exploit that with some underneath stuff for some easy first down conversions and stuff like that. What did you make of Tyreek Hill being back, and do you think that his presence can help unlock a few things for this offense moving forward?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, he had that insane leaping touchdown where he elevated himself over a defender above the catch point and made himself an insane play. And what he did defies gravity in some regards, the way he was able to leap up there and hang up there and still be able to catch it. It was insane. I mean, I'm still amazed at that, just talking about it right now. But, I mean, he did that. And, I mean, look, his speed was needed out there. The defense played differently because of him. And in all honesty, man, if the offensive line had been able to protect and they'd been able to give Mahomes more time, I think they would have had a lot more explosive plays than just the hand. I think they had 2 or 3 when I looked it up.
Darrell Williams had one on screen, too.
I'm saying total in the whole game.
Yeah, I know.
I think they had 3 because I think the Texans had 2, and the Chiefs, 2 of them were in the Chiefs' first drive.
Yeah. Big fan of the musical Wicked, are you?
I don't watch musicals, but I know the only thing.
I don't know. I just, when I heard you saying defying gravity, I thought you were going to break into a solo.
No, I can't say that I was going to, but I do know that. The wicked concern I have is about Patrick Mahomes' ankle.
Ooh, nice segue. So let's hear how concerned Patrick is about the old ankle and how it's feeling with a short week coming up before the Denver game.
Yeah, if I felt like my ankle was affecting the team and the success of the offense, I would for sure move on. But at the same time, I feel like I'm still moving around. I'm still able to run, scramble, throw. And, I mean, we just haven't executed a high enough success rate as offense.
Did you aggravate it on that one play where you look like you got hit in multiple ways?
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily aggravated it. A big dude just fell on it. And so I think even if it was hurt before or wasn't hurt, it would have hurt anyways just from that guy falling on it.
So, well, that's good news. I mean, so if his ankle wasn't hurt before, it would be now. What does Andy Reid need to do to adjust so that, one, either to just protect Mahomes or to reconfigure the offense a little bit to either, you know, control the clock a little bit more so that maybe the Chiefs don't expose their defense to being on the field as much? Or, I mean, what is it that Andy needs to do to kind of help get this ship righted?
Well, until you get your offensive line's protection issues figured out, if you ever do, you need to You need to not throw the ball deep all the time or be looking to hit the home run ball every time. You need to take what you can get within 10, 15 yards, run more of a true West Coast system like you originally did back in 2013 and 2014 if you have to. You could use 2014 because of how awful that interior guard position was with Mike McGlynn. Remember him? I think it was terrible. He's probably listening right now. Sorry, Mike. Hope you're doing good in your
got post, another guy to look up post, in the Christmas card
post NFL career. But you know, and then you got to run the ball more. You're going to use two tight end sets, like I wrote about in the game plan. You're going to have to use two running backs in the backfield. You got to accept that you can't run five routes every play. Like, you're just not going to be able to. So if you may have to run three sometimes. You may have to max protect. You may have to do all that stuff. Especially against Denver, you're going to have to do it because everybody looked at the Broncos. We get to them later. You're going to have to adjust real quick.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I think we got to talk about the defense.
Okay.
Here on 4th and 1.
One town. One team, one MVP. This season, a new flame will rise. Get ready, Casey. It's showtime. 41 Action News, your new home of the Chiefs.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza. The season changes, but an accurate forecast doesn't. Gary Lezak and the 41 Action News weather team. Certified most accurate. Available 24/7 on every screen, no matter the season. 41 Action News, Kansas City's weather leader.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. Please don't turn off the podcast just because we're going to talk about the Chiefs defense.
I won't.
Okay. But, you know, I mean, look. For several weeks, you know, the stock answer has been, you know, hey, this team's not going to, we're not going to know who this team is until the middle of the season. You know, the defense is going to need time to come together.
You were going to know by week 8 who they were or weren't.
Well, but here we are. We're 6 weeks in, and who they are is one of the worst run defenses in the history of the NFL. They're one of three teams in the last 30 years to have given up 180 or more rushing yards in four straight weeks. They're a team that can't stop the run, that can't get to the quarterback, and you know, one thing you always hear about coaches is they want a defense to have an attitude. They want a defense to have an identity. They want, you know, you want guys that you can rally around. What is this team's identity right now other than terrible?
I wish I could answer that for you because, I mean, they don't really attack. They don't blitz a ton. They don't cover well. They don't tackle well. I mean, their linebackers don't attack down in the gaps and they don't attack the line of scrimmage. They occasionally run blitz. I mean, they got a lot of deficiencies on that defense, and I just don't think you're going to be able to coach a lot of it out of them, unfortunately. And I don't think you're going to be able to pick up a lot of players that can fill in magically middle of the year to make it all better.
So what? What's the biggest need? I mean, because obviously, you know, Frank Clark's been disappointing, but they don't seem to have anyone on the other side, you know, that can stop the run at the defensive end spot.
Emmanuel Ogba does his best, yes.
Yeah, well, he's the best of the bunch, but, you know, I mean, I don't think he's going to a Pro Bowl. I mean, and it's not like he's giving you much of the pass rush.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he's a complete linebacker that you trust out there for three downs. The defensive tackles can't seem to withstand a double team. Half the time, you don't know where the linebackers are, you know, whether that's in coverage, not getting deep enough in their drops and zones, or there was one play where, you know, Ben Neiman didn't realize that, you know, when they were trying to pattern match, that DeAndre Hopkins was coming across the middle and gave up like an 18-yard completion on a 3rd and 15 because the linebackers can't cover. But the linebackers also, like you mentioned, don't come up and attack the run. So I guess my question is, what would you say you do here if you're not going to stop the run and you're not going to protect against the play well in pass coverage? What are you doing? Like, and the corners, we've had that discussion, but at this point, I'm not even sure the corners are in the top three positions where you're irritated and frustrated with at this point, in terms of what the biggest needs are, what the biggest struggles have been. So, I mean, just looking at the run defense, because that's where it starts. Until they can stop somebody against the run, people are just going to continue to run down their throats. Who's to blame for this run debacle?
First off, it starts on the interior, the defensive tackles. They can't stop double teams, and teams keep double teaming on them. That's what they do, because they know they can do that and get up to the linebacker. It's the easiest path for them to stop it.
Yeah, they just blow them out of the way, and then,
get up to the linebacker, second level. It's the easiest way. It's becoming the path of least resistance that they have to worry about. So they don't worry about going on the edges. They just double the defensive tackles, get up to the linebackers of the second level who are waiting, and then they essentially destroy them for 5-plus yards on each run, and they really don't have an answer to it, or they're not adjusting by shooting the gaps, and they're not attacking. They're not bringing it to them on a regular basis. So because of that, that's what's happening there. And if the linebackers aren't attacking, then they're all not Derek Johnson. They can't, unfortunately, haven't been able to recreate Derek Johnson, clone him. So unfortunately,
he was good, man.
He was, and you didn't need another.
If linebacker. Only he could catch the ball.
I'm not kidding when I say this. Like, you could literally just have Derek Johnson out there, and you didn't have to worry about the other two linebackers on the field. Like, Derek could cover tackle to tackle, sideline to sideline. That's what made Derek so special. And you didn't need another linebacker. He was able to always do it. And these linebackers can't avoid the blocks like he can. They can't twist and turn like he can. I mean, it's just. Chiefs fans get to enjoy the luxury of seeing Derek Johnson for a long time, and unfortunately, they get to see what it's like when you don't have a Derek Johnson type of player out there. So, I mean, yeah, linebacker wise, it's a problem, man. All three linebackers are struggling.
All six linebackers are struggling.
Well, the three that are on the field, and then the defensive tackles are struggling. I mean, until they figure out some stuff there, I mean, they're going to struggle in run defense. I mean, that's.
It's almost like when you talk about baseball, you want to be strong up the middle. You want to have, good catcher, good shortstop, second baseman, good center fielder, and that sets the table for a good defense. And the Chiefs don't have that, but at least they're also poor on the edges at the second and third levels. And then the first
level. I'm gonna be honest. I think they're strong.
Okay, can we?
I think they're strong at safety on defense. I think safety is the one spot they don't have to address in the offseason.
What? Maybe it'd be easier to talk about what the Chiefs do well and how they can build off of that.
They're going to be able to build off the safeties in the future. Everything else is kind of... Here's the one thing I'm...
Do you just want to run like a four safety defense?
No, I don't. I want to have a 5-2 front at this point where they just have 5-on-5. And, if it works out, it works out. If not, who cares? You're going to give up points and yards anyways.
Let's just run a 2-2-4.
All right. Something else I want to rant about that's not run defense.
Oh, my bad. Related. Okay, go.
Okay. Here's the lesson that I've noticed, and I'm sure other people have. Bashaud Breeland, when you put him on really fast, and when you put him on the team's fastest wide receiver, he holds. He turns into Orlando Scandrick. That's like he's a solid corner. It's just whenever he faced like the Will Fullers of the world, and last week I can't remember which speed receiver he faced.
T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, because Paris Campbell was out. Yeah, those are their two fastest guys. And I mean, he got a lot of holding penalties. He turns into Orlando Scandrick when he's facing serious speed. I honestly don't know why they didn't have him on DeAndre Hopkins. I thought they were going to during the game, and they didn't. And so, I mean. That's another one of those things that, like, you watch it and you see it and you're like, are you guys going to adjust? Are you going to adjust? Are you going to adjust? No? All right. And so, I mean, look, I mean, they got to come up with answers. I mean, that's what they're paid to do. And we'll see if they do. But, I mean, in terms of Super Bowl contention, I don't think those
not feeling it right now.
Those words don't need to be used in the same sentence because I hate to say it, but there's a lot of pieces that are dragging them down right now, and not having Eric Fisher and Mahomes' ankle not looking as good, and a lot of the defensive issues. It's just, here's what I will say. I know this sounds terrible to me to say, but it's kind of true. they're giving up less points this year than last year in a handful of times. I mean, I know that sounds awful of me to say, and then people are probably like, well, who cares? They're still losing. And like, I know, but I mean.
Well, I think it's just because it takes more time to run the ball than it does, to throw the ball over the top of the defense.
But you got to find a positive to build off of right now.
Because last year teams would just throw it at Skandrick's side, get a PI in the end zone, and then run it in from the one. This year, they're actually having to run down the field.
And then the other problem is, I mean, you don't have that offense that the Chiefs had for those first 9 weeks last year. You see and understand how special it was, and to be able to have that time, and how quickly it goes away. I mean, as soon as you have, boom, injury here, injury there, injury here, this guy had a videotape that came out, and you had to move on from him. I mean, you know, as I said, life comes at you fast. You can't guarantee that you're going to have that forever, and they got to have it for 9 games, and they haven't had the same efficiency that they had since that Rams game last year, and it's not gotten better.
All right, well, let's hear from the two guys that were paid the most to make a difference on the field in the offseason, Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark.
You know, yeah, I think the first surge, obviously, whoever gets that first has to make the tackle. You know, once you get to the second and third level, you know, it becomes a, you know, pretty hard tackle. So we just got to do a good job of, you know, building the wall and then, you know, setting edges and, you know, playing off of each other.
You know, we're just making everybody look awesome. You know, we're making every running back we play look awesome. You know, for the most part, the offense we playing, we really haven't shut down the offense this year, and that's something we got to do in order to win. We can't keep putting the pressure on our offense to do everything. We can't keep putting the pressure, you know, on you know, those guys that get the job done. We know what they can do, but we got to give them more opportunities. You know, we got to slow the game down on defense so that, you know, we're not getting these extended drives, 9-play drives, 10-play drives, you know, more 3 and outs, and, you know, everything start to change.
Nick, how many yards would you run for against this Chiefs defense?
Maybe 2. I'm just going to be blunt about it. I mean, if I was on a rascal, though.
Oh, there's
maybe,
no chance. Yeah.
Maybe 5.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
5 yards per carry?
No, just 5 yards one time, and they would tear up the rascal, and it would be over for me.
All right. I mean, look, they keep saying the right things, and you keep, you know, you're. I guess it's encouraging to know that they realize they're terrible right now.
They're admitting that they're struggling.
I guess I would rather have that than them say, look, we got the best defense in the league, we feel like.
You're not going to let that go.
No, man. I'm not. You know, but at some point, don't you want not, you know, to quote, you know, one of my favorite hair bands from the 90s, more than words?
Yes, as we talked about in the last podcast.
Do I need to play that song by Extreme?
Okay. Please don't, because it's a copyright infringement.
What if I sing it?
No. Please don't. I appreciate you stopping after you tried to cover the microphone and said one whole word. Thank you. But no, look, I mean, I said it last week. I mean, actions speak louder than words. I mean, that's a life lesson. And I mean, here's the thing. I will say the Chiefs.
Is it applicable to things other than football?
Yes, it is.
Okay, just check.
That's why it's called life lesson, okay. Todd.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to double check there.
It's something I live by.
All right.
But the other part is, like, I mean, they came out there, they had some attitude, they had some swagger about them, they had the momentum, and, I mean, they came out and went up 17-3, and then just like some of the yesteryear to Alex Smith, the momentum swings happened, and then the wheels fell off, and then they were just holding on for dear life at times, and that's just, it reminded me a lot of some of the games that they had during that 2016 season, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, the sequence at the end of the half when Juan Thornhill, again, we praised him when I think it was the Detroit game when he batted the ball down instead of getting his first interception of his career. Had he done it on that fourth down play, the Chiefs would have been out closer to midfield.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then instead, I think there was a penalty or something that also backed him up, and then Mahomes, you know, they fumble the ball, they give it up right there, and end up giving up the lead going right into halftime. That was a big momentum swing. But another big momentum swing, I thought, was the Chiefs were driving down, and then there was the debacle of the, was it a hold? Was it pass interference? No, we're going to just let the Texans keep the interception on that play. First of all, I mean, I got real sick of hearing at halftime about how the Texans were leading in points after turnovers 14-3 and how that was the difference in the game. And I was like, you guys realize they had to go 12 plays and 80 yards after that interception in the end zone. It wasn't like the Chiefs didn't have a chance to do something about it. There was literally 80% of the field that they still had to go.
Yeah.
So I think that's a worthless stat. But how big of a moment do you think that was to because it basically it took 3 points off the board for the Chiefs and allowed them to run out the clock on most of the rest of the second quarter.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest part of the whole thing was that, I mean, for one, it was still a defensive holding penalty, and nobody's going to be able to tell me any different.
At the very least, I don't even care. At the very least, it's illegal contact down the field. Like, you can't tell me that...
Illegal tackling?
It's something. It's a penalty for sure, and the explanation that the ball was in the air and wasn't going to Kelce was absurd because he was already going... He was already getting thrown to the ground before the ball was released.
For pass interference, I totally get that, but for defensive holding or like illegal contact,
yeah, I mean,
I'm sorry, this is not in the same spectrum. So, Sean Hockey Lee, I'm very disappointed in you, and you are now on the same list as Craig Wolstad.
Also, if I'm Dave Merritt, I'm going to teach my corners. Like, hey, if the ball's thrown to the other side of the field, chop the receiver's knees out from under him. I don't care. Just blast that dude every time. Like, it's not illegal contact anymore. The ball was out of his hands. Just wreck that wide receiver every single down. Every single down, I'm going to have my guy just go slobber knocking people. Because that's basically what they said the rule is.
And when you deal with the next officiating crew that's not Sean Hockley,
they're going to start calling personal fouls for unnecessary roughness on everything.
And that's your spectrum there. But what I do think, I will say this, I think there's...
Were you ever... Did you ever think that you would be wishing for Craig Rolstead?
I'm actually not, because they're both terrible. Him and Sean Hockley, terrible. Like Charles Barkley, terrible pronunciation. that's where they're at in their lives. Maybe go find another professional.
That's terrible.
Exactly. So Sean Hockley needs to step his weight room regimen up, be more like his dad.
At least be entertaining if you're going to be terrible at your job.
Come on. maybe tell a joke after
That's
the penalty
right. Come
or
on.
Something.
Come on. Like, do something to make me smile.
Yeah.
But
it's a unique idea.
Do you think that, do the refs treat Travis Kelce different? Normally star players get special treatment. It seems like the opposite is the case with Travis Kelce. And look, he has done a few things involving referees through the years to maybe draw their ire. But do you think that plays a role in this?
I do. I'm not kidding myself. I genuinely believe for a long time, but today was kind of the confirmation when I saw him get tackled three different times. And one time they called it, and then the other time they didn't. And I'm like, okay, well, okay there, Sean.
Ironically, they didn't when they had a chance to hit him with an offensive pass interference. They didn't until the next play when he didn't touch a defensive player, and then they called that one OPI.
So they were looking at the replay like, oh, we really messed that one up, but we've been told not to do this. So hey, next play, pass interference.
He literally didn't touch.
I know. That was their makeup call. That's what they did. But
That's gross.
But what I will say is like, yeah, I personally believe this for a while, but I'm actually gonna say it publicly now. I believe when Kelce threw the towel at the ref in the Jaguars game, same game where Marcus Peters punted the football into the stands before he punted it the next week against the Panthers. I believe that, and I also believe the potential comment after the Steelers game. I believe those two things.
Where he said that ref shouldn't even work at a Foot Locker, for those who don't remember, after the Steelers divisional playoff.
I believe those things have apparently the refs, officials keep that in their Rolodex in my book.
There's also the meme where he walks up behind an official and makes an obscene hand gesture that's all over the place too.
So anyways, moving on. Just Travis.
I didn't describe what he was doing.
Travis has had some, you know.
You can look it up.
Him and the refs have had some disagreements in their philosophy, and because of that, they have been unable to come to an understanding when it comes to how the game should be played, and you know, it's unfortunate.
Does Andy do you think he cares about these penalties? Do you think Andy does enough to address it? Because penalties were a huge issue last week. They're a huge issue again. They were a huge issue last season. You know, it's a staple of Andy Reid. For as good as he is, time management and undisciplined play on the field are things that have also been hallmarks of his career.
They certainly need to get the penalties fixed, and they certainly need to get the penalties on special teams fixed.
All right, we're going to get penalized if we don't take a break. So we'll be back here on 4th and 1.
Cutting the cable cord? 41 Action News is now on Roku. Search KSHB. Add our channel and you're set. All of our newscasts stream live. No other station in Kansas City can say that. Get clear, complete coverage on 41 Action News now on Roku.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza. One town, one team, one MVP. This season, a new flame will rise. Get ready, Casey. It's showtime. 41 Action News, your new home of the Chiefs.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And we're going to switch it up a little bit this week, guys. If you want, we're gonna talk Broncos. We're gonna get ready because it's a Thursday game, and there's just not a lot that's gonna change. I mean, the Chiefs are gonna practice like one time on Tuesday, have a walkthrough. They're not gonna do a whole lot of installing game plans or reinventing the wheel here because they don't have time to do it. Especially because Wednesday's got to be a travel day to get out to Mile High Stadium. First of all, is it fair to allow the Denver Broncos to play at home on a Sunday and then make the Chiefs travel for a Thursday game? I mean, how much of a disadvantage does that put the visiting team at on Thursday night?
Well, I mean, the bigger problem the Chiefs have is they played two physical teams back-to-back in the Colts and the Texans, and they've had a lot of injuries, so I think their bodies are feeling it right now. And that was kind of the recipe that got them, in my opinion, twice before in Oakland when they played on Thursday nights as well, because especially the first time whenever it was Carr's rookie year, his first year, I believe it was his rookie year, when he got his win over the Chiefs, they played the Seahawks and the Bills the two games before that, and they were pretty beat up when they played both of them at home, and then they went to Oakland and played them, and it didn't work out that game. And so, yeah, it just...
The other one was what, 16?
Yeah, whenever they had... it was Marcus Peters' last year here, so that would have been 17.
That was Craig Rolstad game, if I remember.
It was.
He gave him...
And Marshawn Lynch got thrown out of the game for running onto the field to protect Marcus Peters against his teammates.
That's right.
And then he had the hoodie on and he sat up in the stands and watched the game. And then him and Marcus Peters took the train back through Oakland afterwards.
Marshawn's a national treasure. I don't care.
That happens. I mean, the Chiefs haven't had the best. They haven't had some of the best Thursday nights because they lost the.
Yeah, lost the Chargers last year. That's what I was going to say.
They lost to Denver that one year with Peyton. Whenever it was like the second game of the season, I think that was 2015.
Because I remember last year talking about how
they beat the Eagles on a Thursday night. Andy Reid's first year, 2013.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I guess, well, like, this is the first time the Chiefs have lost back-to-back home games since Andy Reid's first year, so maybe this will also be the first time since then they win a Thursday game.
I'm hoping they figure out a way to win it.
Well, I mean, look, how impressed are you with the Broncos? Look, the Broncos' offense still isn't great, but that defense, the Titans aren't exactly a powerhouse offense, but they did shut them out. The Broncos have won a couple games here. They're starting to play, better football. What chance do you give the Broncos and what do the Chiefs need to do to have a chance to end this, this skid and come back to Kansas City 5-2 with a few extra days off to prepare for the Packers?
Well, I mean, the first thing overall is that the Broncos, what makes the Broncos offense tick is Phillip Lindsay. So running the ball is what makes them tick. So when he's out there,
that does not sound good if you're a Chiefs fan.
Well, I'm just going to tell you the reality. He's kind of what makes their offense tick overall. They're trying to run a lot of the stuff Joe Flacco did with the Ravens, but he's still inaccurate for the most part. He still holds on the ball too long, and unless Cortland Sutton's open right now, they're kind of struggling to move the ball at times.
And Manuel Sanders got hurt this week, and who knows whether he's going to be available in a short week.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Philip Lindsay's kind of if they didn't have him, that offense would sputter mightily. And I mean, everybody would just have to focus on Sutton. So I think the Chiefs are going to have a big challenge against Phillip Lindsay this week. But I mean, this offense, what they faced against the Texans is completely different than what they'll face in Denver. The Texans, I knew it was going to be tough for them because they had an efficient run game, but they also had a ton of skill players, with Deshaun being as mobile as he is and his ability to throw the football down the field.
And then DeAndre Hopkins, and Fuller.
Yeah. And then if Kenny Stills had played, that would have been even worse. And then their tight ends that they had with Atkins and
Darren Fells.
Fells. That's what it is. I keep wanting to say Feller.
Not David Wells.
I keep wanting to say Feller, man. Every time. But
no, that was Bob. He pitched for the Indians.
I don't know about baseball, Todd. Football. I was thinking of the tight end for the Raiders, Weller. I get him and Fells confused in the
That's right.
words in my head.
That's what I'm here for.
Thank you.
That way you don't have to look it up and we don't have to take another break.
That's very kind of you. from offensive perspective, The Broncos aren't world beaters, but I think they're going to give the Chiefs the challenge with the run game, and they're going to have to figure that part out of it.
Well, they always do. Let's hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes on the matchup with Denver.
We got to flip a few things. The margin of winning and losing in this league is minute, and you're just a play or two away from coming out of this thing with a win. And so we've got to take care of business. That's what we have to do. And every season is going to give you some hurdles that you have to scale there, and this is one of those challenges. So it tests you, but we'll bear down and get it done.
I mean, you got to bounce back. I mean, we're going to Denver, which is not an easy place to play at, against a division opponent, and so we know that you kind of have to right the ship. You have to make sure you get this thing going the right way again, and they're going to give us a great effort, and so we have to make sure that we find a way to come out with the win at the end.
All right, so that was Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes talking about what they need to do to beat the old Denver Broncos. Look, I will say this. Andy Reid has absolutely owned this division since he came over from Philadelphia. They've owned the Broncos in particular.
Since the one time they beat Peyton, yeah.
Yeah, and I think this has the potential to be one of the weeks where the pass rush actually is effective, because they're facing a guy who is as stiff as a skeleton and as mobile as the Statue of Liberty. And that play...
Even Phillip Rivers is like, God, you're kind of slow.
But that plays to their advantage, because if you think about Matthew Stafford can move around in the pocket and make things happen. Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson are otherworldly in their ability to make plays along those lines. Even Jacoby Brissett, is a lot more slippery than he's more slippery than he is athletic.
I was going to say, yeah.
I mean, he's not exactly athletic, but he moves better than he gets credit for, right. And he has a better pocket awareness. Flacco's kind of a sitting duck, and if they don't protect well, and look, I think Denver's got a pretty good offensive line, but he's a bit of a sitting duck. Most of what they do is off play action. I think he's a guy that this Chiefs pass rush can be a little bit more effective against. What do you make of? I mean, do you just sell out to just break Phillip Lindsay? Is that the game plan, or what are you trying to do if you're going to give this team a chance to win Thursday?
I say you go crazy and you attack Phillip Lindsay and you attack Joe Flacco. I mean, that's what I would do. I mean, yeah, you may.
And then you just hope that Noah Font doesn't catch 12 passes for 145 yards?
There's a chance he does, but at least they didn't run on you. today was kind of what I like to call a paper cut game, to where it was, they just kept moving down the field, getting chunks, non-explosive, and just taking paper cuts left and right, and then it just added up at the end. Because if I remember correctly, I think in the fourth quarter, the Chiefs offense only had the ball for like a minute and 30 seconds.
I think they only had the ball three times in the whole second half.
Yeah, and I think in the fourth quarter, they literally had the ball like a minute 30, if that, maybe 2 minutes. I'm not...
What were they? They had like 5 minutes, 45 seconds somewhere in that neighborhood, and two timeouts left after Houston took the lead and got the 2-point conversion, and the Chiefs never saw the ball again.
Tough break all around. Made me very sad, Todd. Made me very sad.
Hey, okay. And look, I think this has to be said too. The Colts and the Texans, I think, are better football teams than the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I both agree the Chiefs played very poorly the last 2 weeks. And again, both games, though, were one score games.
Right.
While I know the tendency is going to be to say the sky is falling, there's so much that they can't fix, this team is still fully capable of winning football games. And if they beat the Broncos, they will be 5-2. They will still be in first place in, you know, in the division, at least a half game over the Raiders, even if the Raiders win, and with a victory against the Raiders in hand. So this, you know, there are still plenty of positives for this team. There's still plenty of time for them to right the ship. And I know some people may be upset that, hey, at 5-2, you know, with the Patriots and everything, I mean, it's going to be tough. You know, obviously you're way behind in the race for home field advantage, but I'm not sure home field is a real advantage for the Chiefs at this point. So I'm not sure that that's, you know, that may be an overrated take.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how the next week works out and go from there.
The last few years haven't worked out well. The last few weeks and the last few years in the playoffs haven't necessarily worked out well.
I'm just taking it one game at a time right now.
Okay. Okay. Well, you do that. You want to check the tweets real quick?
Yeah, check it. First one's going to be from Rob. He asked, why do we never address the real issues with this team and watch the same thing beat us over and over?
Well, I don't know what he means is the real issues. Like the run defense, I think if they could stop the run, they would. I just don't think they have the personnel to get it done right now. I mean, there were times I saw Ben Neiman coming through the A gap, and, you know, I mean, there were times they tried to do things. I know I saw Alex Okafor, they moved him over to the right side and flopped spots with Frank Clark again, which they've tried to do at times when teams are exploiting that, you know, run to the right and exploiting that edge. And, you know, when they did that, you know, the Texans just started running at the left edge where Alex Okafor was. So, you know, tough break.
Jackson Hobbs asks, is it an overreaction to cut the entire defense?
Yeah. Because, I mean, you want to at least keep Juan Thornhill and Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, we talked about it. You don't want to get rid of those safeties.
So
And the cap hit on Frank Clark alone. I mean, that would be killer.
So this one's going to come from one of your fan favorites, apparently. The hardcore Thor. Thor asked.
I hope I gave Nick a hard enough time.
The hardcore Thor asked, why is Spags not just having his linemen and linebackers shoot gaps more? They have no push against the run or the pass. It seems they would at least cause some chaos for the offense that might lead to a turnover or stop.
Well, I think the short answer is he doesn't listen to enough 4th-and-1 podcasts.
Certainly one way to look at it.
No, but realistically, I think it's probably because if you do that, then what you're giving up is the middle of the field. And, you know, if you do that a lot, then you're really vulnerable to, you know, slants over the middle. I mean, look, if you look at, I think it was the 4th-down play where that they converted late in the game to ice the clock. They did try to bring, I think it was Neiman through the A or B gap. And Deshaun Watson rolled just to his right. You know, they had the two guys stacked and, you know, and Bashaud Breeland got caught up in the wash a little bit, but they were able to run just a quick slant over the middle. And with Neiman coming on the blitz, you didn't have him back there to protect that space and you left that spot wide open and offenses are smart enough to exploit that. So if you get predictable in bringing guys, you know, attacking downhill all the time, they just run play action, dump it right over the middle to a tight end or a slot receiver on the slant and they burn you that way.
Eric asks, do you still think KC can win the West?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think there's a great team in the AFC West. I think the best team in the AFC West is still the Chiefs. I think the Raiders are playing better football than maybe you expected this year. But the Chiefs already have a win in hand at Oakland against them, which, you know, effectively puts them two up, you know, in the win column over the Raiders. The Chargers don't appear to be as good a football team, and they're having their own issues with their offensive line and guys like that. And we'll see. If the Chiefs can beat the Broncos and they get to 5-2 with wins against the Broncos and the Raiders in hand, you're still in control of your own destiny in the AFC West. So 100%, yes, they can.
Dustin asks, who's worse, Chiefs D, the O-line, or NFL officiating?
Ooh, man. I will say this. The NFL officiating is bad enough that even Tom Brady was criticizing it. And when you've got your own players and the fans and the coaches that are mystified and unhappy with it, I think you've got a real problem. You know, I think that they also were reactionary to, you know, the pass interference call in last year's NFC Championship game and then instituted a rule that is toothless and doesn't work and wastes time. It's a sham. But I would say that the offensive line is worse only because the defensive line looked really, really good in training camp. And so I would say that the defensive line won camp. And then as it turned out, both of them had struggled in the regular season.
Yeah. And then lastly, our question comes from Ryan. He asks, how does this defense get fixed? It's going to be our final one.
To get fixed, unfortunately, I think you're going to have to bring in some different players and get a few key guys healthy, you know, down the road, maybe in the offseason.
So that's all for this edition of Check the Tweet.
And that's all for this edition of 4th and 1. We will be back Thursday night after the Chiefs at the Broncos. So we hope you enjoy this podcast. It's a little bit longer than usual, which is saying something. But a little bit longer because we kind of rolled into the Broncos preview here. And we will talk to you again later in the week.